Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. We are very glad you have tuned in tonight for another important teaching that without this understanding of a certain idiomatic phrase used often by the prophets of Scripture could lead you in the wrong direction concerning end time prophecy, which we need to correctly comprehend since we are certainly in the last days. But first, let's ask God for his blessing.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless, O name. Bless your name, O Lord. We honor and praise you in all things. For you bring goodness. You bring great goodness into our lives. Thank you again for your word that feeds us and sustains us. Please show extra favor to those called by your name who are under any affliction. May they experience joy in their suffering while faithfully anticipating their healing. We continue to lift up in prayer the salvations of our loved ones. Please do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees and give a special blessing to your servants who faithfully study your word. We ask that all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So, it's been about 2 years since we addressed this famous scriptural expression called, in that day. And since there are some new listeners to these Tuesday night Bible studies, we thought it should be revisited.
And it's a great review.
And without understanding this phrase, you could easily misinterpret eschatology, as actually I did until I studied our Hebrew roots.
But before we do that, we have some news to share.
Oh, we do. First off, the presidential debate is Thursday night.
That will be highly watched.
Oh, for sure.
And now to Israel.
Well, first I must say we can never know what really is said behind closed doors. So it could be worse than what Netanyahu said openly, for he did break protocol by calling out on TV news the Biden administration for slow-walking arms shipments over the last 4 months.
Which really just prolongs the war.
Oh, for sure. And most everyone knows by now that Washington's real goal, well, it's appeasing Iran and toppling Netanyahu.
Right. That's not a kept secret anymore.
It couldn't be any plainer. Honestly, I think Biden is the devil in disguise. There, I said it. If there is anything that Netanyahu has learned in his long tenure as prime minister, is that those who counsel caution and careful silence when faced with American betrayal doesn't benefit. It's only by speaking up and making Israel's case to the American people, which he did. And that helps maintain the alliance.
Because the people matter.
And the majority are still with Israel.
But I wonder for how long.
There will always be a remnant, at least till the rapture. Although, right now, anti-Semitism is exploding right in front of our eyes. And Israel's defense minister, Gallant, has been in Washington to discuss this. And also, can they depend on us when the conflict with Hezbollah erupts into a full-scale war, as Hezbollah is aggressively targeting Israel up in the north? And I understand that other fighters are ready to join Hezbollah.
As in the Iraqi resistance.
And some other Iran-backed fighters. But Netanyahu's meeting to speak to Congress is back on again for July 24th. And some of the Dems say, well, they're just not going to attend. As far as Gaza goes, many Hamas leaders have moved, either into Turkey or Lebanon. So Gaza's aggressive war, well, it is beginning to wind down.
With the IDF remaining in control of Gaza.
That's the plan. But Israel must still keep an eye on the West Bank and in Yemen. Oh, and one more thing, and we've been saying this since October 7th. Now, finally, they have solid proof that the UN organization to help poor Palestinians, UNRWA, that we give money to is an organization that breeds terrorism and houses Hamas rockets. And guess where their headquarters are?
New York.
Yeah. The good news, and what we know for sure, is they can't destroy Israel.
It's God's land.
Amen. And this just came in this morning. Israel's high court rules ultra-Orthodox men must also be drafted. And that's about 67,000 eligible men, which right now is, of course, very much needed. However, the two ultra-Orthodox political parties are in the coalition. And if the Knesset doesn't overrule with their own legislation, they're threatening to leave the government, which, of course, would force new elections at a very bad time.
Any quick headlines?
Yes. According to vaccine.news, billions are still expected to die in coming years from COVID vaccines.
Although not admitting any deaths are from the shots.
Oh, no, they won't. As well as the millions of adverse reactions that show up even years later. And by the way, we know some vaccinated people that still catch what they say is COVID.
Because the shots lower your immune system.
And we all know a poor immune system opens up the floodgates for just about everything. And right now, they already have the new mRNA shots ready for the next coming soon pandemic named H5N1.
Better known as the more dangerous type of bird flu.
Yeah. Okay, we must move along.
Okay. We welcome your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and definitely appreciated, which will include you in our monthly correspondence. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, thank you, dear. Are we ready for some Hebraic Roots 101?
For sure.
All right, then. What does it mean when you read in Scripture that something will happen in or on that day?
It means in the future, ushered in at the rapture for 1,000 years.
That's it. It's the seventh and last day, equaling 1,000-year period of time.
Which comes at the close of 6,000 years from Adam's creation.
Yes. So let's go back to Genesis to the, I think, the greatest and very first picture, or better put, typological teaching, written thousands of years ago, penned by Moses, as told by God.
It's the picture of creation.
Of course, because typologically, this symbolism is truly God-designed to be a genuine form of predictive prophecy stemming from the patterns of his word, which only God can do. And that is referenced in Hosea 12, verse 10. We should always first take the Bible literally whenever possible. Then as we mature, we look for the typology, the written accounts, what they represent. Because each story we read is not just true, but is also a picture of something or someone else. It's your gold nugget treasure that God has hidden, but actually in plain sight for his bride to find.
It's like a game of challenge.
Oh, and it's really fun. Remember, we have pointed out many times what he says in Romans 25.
Proverbs.
Proverbs. Thank you, dear. So, honey, why don't you read that, verse 2, and let's take it from the ESV, taken from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search them out.
Wow. Really think about that. We are those kings. Well, according to Revelation 1, so God expects us to look for his gold nuggets.
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
Okay, so before time was eternity, and after time will be eternity again. But when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time.
So, one morning and one evening and one morning equals 24 hours or one day.
Yes. And the second day he divided the waters and made the firmament. The third day, plant life, and the fourth day, the sun for photosynthesis. That fourth day is a huge clue to confirm that each day had to be only 24 hours.
Otherwise, the plants would not survive.
Exactly. And we know that God usually functions within the limitations of natural laws that he himself put into place. And yet still today, some believe that each day could be hundreds of years. As we just said, the plants prove it was a literal 24-hour day of first evening and then daylight.
So the fifth day was birds and fish.
And the sixth day, the cattle. And lastly, he created Adam and then Eve, which is why six is the number for men. One short of complete, but someday will be a seven.
And Jesus is the number eight.
Right. Writing the number eight is really the only number that has no finished line to it, meaning never ending, as in eternity.
So then on the seventh day, God rested.
Okay, now let me ask everyone an important question. Was God tired since Genesis says he rested?
No, it's a type.
It has to be. Or better yet, why did he take 6 days when he could have done it all in a minute?
Because it's a very important picture, also called typology.
That's right. He wants us to know something very significant.
And God does not waste scripture.
Never. Everything is there for a reason. The 6 literal days of creation is also confirmed in Exodus 20, verse 11. Honey, would you read that?
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, let me repeat. We first take the scriptures literally,
which enables even a child can understand it.
Then, as we mature, we look for the picture or typology that it represents. The Old Testament contains hundreds of pictures, many revealed in the New Testament. So the bottom line here is that each day of creation is a revealing picture to those who like to study by revealing to us how long that human man will be here before eternity returns. We have other scriptures that confirms that one day can also mean especially from Genesis. Psalm 90, verse 4.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night.
So 6 days means 6,000 years, with the last 1,000 years representing the millennial kingdom, with the first 7 years of it being the judgment of God's wrath on earth. Or if righteous, you'll be in heaven for our honeymoon. And of course, we have a couple more scriptures confirming this truth, as in Psalm 84, verse 10.
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000.
And this next scripture makes it even more clear and very pertinent, especially in Peter's eyes. And he revealed that he was near death. It's in 2 Peter 3:8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Okay, hold for a second. For Peter, again, nearing death, so like a deathbed revelation, to point out that we need to remember this one thing. Think about it. That means, must be pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Honey, please read that again. Start over.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Now, when you read 2 Peter 3 in context, and I implore you do so, he's talking about the last days. He also mentions creation and the judgment. So what he is saying is huge, is a huge clue that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, judgment will come.
While the righteous are in heaven.
Yes. And then we will return with Jesus for the remaining 993 years on earth in his earthly messianic kingdom. And by the way, first and second century learned men taught the same typology regarding creation. And we know that from the early writings found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Scripture does say we should keep to what was first taught.
Yeah, it does in 2 Timothy 1 and Titus 1.
Now, because of human error in some calendars, we could never be sure when the 6,000 years was up.
But we rely on clues.
Oh, he certainly has given our generation huge clues that we are very close. But now, with the discovery of the Essene calendar found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, we are certain that we are at the end of the 6,000-year mark, or can be said the end of the sixth day. The last clue will be the dividing of Jerusalem, which when you hear them talk of a two-state solution, that has the same meaning.
It's the cherry on top of all the others.
So now it's easier to see how and why God in his word would use the phrase in that day, or on that day, or even just the day, which always refers to the seventh day, which lasts 1,000 years. The first seven of that 1,000 years is the dark part of the day, called the tribulation. Therefore, that day or in that day can refer to either the tribulation or, in context, can refer to the light part of the day in reference to Yeshua's return.
His messianic kingdom on earth.
So now you can better understand why in creation God said the first part of every 24 hours will be in the night. As you know, at sundown is when the calendar date changes. This is again more typology, a type of spiritual darkness coming first in the 7,000th year we call the tribulation, before the light of Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. So still the same day lasting 1,000 years, but darkness coming first, and then the light.
Okay, one more time.
All right, tribulation, first representing the dark, then Yeshua's kingdom representing the light.
You know, that's such a great typology.
And when we have more confirmation, think about this. Ever wonder why God told Adam and Eve this command? Honey, could you read that in Genesis 2, verse 17?
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
But they didn't die. Oh, most say, well, that meant spiritually. But when taken literally, applying the day as 1,000 years, then it makes sense because Adam lived 930 years. So he did not die before the first day of 1,000 years was over. And to confirm this, when you look up the word die, D-I-E, it is muth, number 4191 in Hebrew. It absolutely does mean a physical dead body.
So again, when you read in Scripture, in that day or that day, it always refers to the last 1,000 years of a man's time.
Yes, so if you are reading from the prophets, as in Daniel, if you do not see the words in that day, it usually means it was later fulfilled after Daniel wrote about it, but way before today's generation. As in the case of the little horn of Daniel 8, which prophesies of a coming ruler after Daniel's time, whose name was Antiochus Epiphanes.
Who, by the way, was raised in Rome.
He was. So Antiochus Epiphanes came after Daniel wrote it, but not the later horn that comes in that day.
In other words, in the tribulation.
Yes, because Antiochus Epiphanes was also a type of the Antichrist, as another little horn, also out of Rome, which is also referenced by Daniel in chapter 7, verse 8. And we are very familiar that in the New Testament, the second little horn represents the beast himself, himself having also 10 horns, as you read in Revelation 13.
So let's discuss this beast coming from Rome.
It does say also in Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27, that the Antichrist will come from the same peoples who destroyed the temple in 70 AD.
And that, of course, is Rome.
So therefore, not a Muslim country. And actually, most don't know that the Vatican created the Muslim religion by deceptively convincing an Arab named Muhammad to help Rome fight its enemies to gain Jerusalem. That plan fell through when the Muslims grew strong quite quickly and decided they wanted to also take Jerusalem. So then the Vatican organized their own army called the Crusaders and even promised them time off in purgatory for fighting.
That is true.
Did you ever wonder why? And we have a picture of Pope John Paul, who actually kissed the Quran in 1999, or that the Muslims also pray on beads and the women wear clothing similar to the nuns until recently, although some orders still do. All covered up. 10 years ago, we archived a program on all this dated February 11th, 2014. It's up on our webpage. And our resource for this was Chick Publications.
But on YouTube as well.
It is. And we're going to pick this up again next week. But meanwhile, if you haven't read Zechariah lately, read it again. But this time, underline every time you see the words "in that day" or "that day." I think you will agree it always refers to the future and the brightest night on earth for the first 7 years, while evil takes its course and finally is removed. Jesus then will set up his kingdom on a cleaned up earth. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Do you know for sure? If there's any doubt, now's the time to make it right. Make Yeshua Lord over your life. You know, Luke 21 says that you can escape what's coming with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner. Repent and invite him into your spirit, your whole being. Then let him have dominion and dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because you know, if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in between. It's either black or it's white. There's no gray. Those of you who are lukewarm Christians, get your act together now. Don't you want some rewards when you get up to heaven? It's important that you be in your word. I suggest even tithing your time. You actually are going to need it for discernment because there's a lot of false teachings out there. So we're going to leave you tonight with, as we always do, with the Aaronic blessing. But this time, I want you to pray along if you can remember the words. Number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom that no one can steal from you. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they're going to prosper in ways that you probably won't even realize. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.